jingle to start. Oh my God. Ferrari V10.
Is that at Monza?
Yeah, it's like a Monza demonstration back in the day where they had like all the V12s coming out. This is the V10, so it's actually, it could be a V10 or a V12. Anyway, it's sexy. And we're back. episode 16. Whew, got a lot to talk about this episode. First of all, let's not forget to introduce ourselves. Pushan here, P Money in Paris, and we got F Knowles in California. What's up?
Oh, man. We thought we were just going to have another a repeat of last season, and boy, were we wrong. It might be still too early.
On a few levels, we were wrong, I'd say. So, you know, there are no spoilers here. Huge weekend after, you know, Newey dropped that bombshell last week. We got Lando Norris winning his first F1 Grand Prix on his 110th attempt. And he becomes the 114th driver to win a race in F1. Wow. And first British driver to win at McLaren since. All right, here's a little quiz to start off.
Good Lord. How many stats are we going to have this fucking episode? Jesus Christ.
Oh, dude, I got
we're not
pages.
Even. Oh, my God.
Answer the question,
not even like a minute in. We're not even a minute in. This guy's stat boy and all over. He's like fucking jizzing stats all over the episode.
It's not over, man. I got stamina. All right, so who is this?
My boy's got the Riz.
Got my Gatorade. Yeah, who's the last British driver to win at McLaren?
Hint,
2012.
Lewis. Yeah,
Jensen Button, Brazil.
Oh,
yeah.
Got that.
I know it hurt.
I was too quick on the draw there.
You know, it happens.
Yeah, sometimes you finish too quick.
Sometimes, you know, just like a race in F1. we thought there was going to be a lot of cringe this weekend, and we almost got through the whole weekend thinking, oh shit, Miami toned it down. They listened to what drivers had to say, what fans had to say, until we saw Donald Trump was in the paddock taking credit for Lando's win.
Okay, but before we even got there, though, I have to say, we saw Will.i.am, and I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah,
can we come on.
Yeah, this is the formula? Yeah.
No, you see, once you see Will.i.am in any event, you're like, oh, man. Like, I respect the guy. He's an insanely talented artist, but there always seems to be, when he's around, like, just, like, these things that are forced, and, I mean, last year was rough, but... But yeah, we pretty much got through the whole race with no cringe, which I was a little disappointed in. Honestly, I kind of like the shitty. I don't like is hard, but I think it's laughable when you've got like the whole charade, the Miami charade that we've had the last 2 years. But so I was disappointed. Yeah. I was a little disappointed. But yeah, to your point,
we didn't have any
of that. Yeah, they did tone it down. I do appreciate that in the end. But yeah, to your point. No cringe, and then like the ultimate cringe after the race.
And yeah, my God. And you know what? For all of you saying, oh man, Lando Norris is shaking hands with Donald Trump and all that, I think it's just one of those situations where he got caught and he just had to do it. So, you know, not to get too political. Yeah, this might be the first and hopefully the last time we mention that fucker on this podcast. Trump,
yeah.
Obviously.
Well, yeah, I think it will be the last.
Definitely. Definitely many more victories for Lando to come. They saved the best cringe for last because we also had Trump with the FIA president, who's not our favorite person either on this podcast. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, let's just stop talking about him. Jesus Christ. Let's move on.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Let's go back to some happy times. Lando Norris has finally done it. Let's get revved up, Knowles, and talk about it.
Roll the intro. Battery
is James.
I am stupid. I am stupid.
Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to leave a place.
Fuck them all.
More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
Damn. All right, woo! Miami. Well, you know, I'm going to give you a stat that's not political. This was the most viewed U.S. Grand Prix ever with 3.1 million
That's it.
Viewers on television. Yeah. Huh. On average. On average.
Through the weekend.
No, for the race. For the race. Just
for the race event. Itself. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty good. Got it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if it's beating records, it must be pretty good.
3.1 mil. I mean, that's a big audience for a single race.
Yeah, it's huge. I think the previous record was like 2.5 or something. So yeah, about 2 years ago, Miami. So
interesting.
So yeah, and it went down actually last year. So you know, maybe it's all correlated with less cringe, more viewers. See, it's working out.
Well, listen, it's interesting. The Indy 500 last year got just under 5 million viewers. So they've got some ways to go here in the States, it looks like.
Yeah, but it's pretty good. I think, yeah, there's a lot of sports going on these days. So I think it was helped with some NBA leading into it. So,
you've got playoffs right now. Just going to give my boys, the New York Rangers, a little shout out.
Oh, we're talking NHL, but talk about those Knicks also.
Yeah, the Knicks won last night. Beating those Sixers.
Yeah.
Dude, we got teams in the mix right now. We got Arsenal fighting for a championship. We got the Knicks. Man. We got the Rangers. Good. We got Lando Norris winning races. I mean, it's a fun time. It's a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wow, it feels good not to say Max won another race. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, so Lando finally did it, man. After a while, you know, I feel like people were bringing it up a lot. There's a lot of social media, I'd say not like bullying, but, you know, banter calling him Lando No Wins. And we all know that Lando's huge on social media, so he knows. You talking shit, motherfucker. He knows, and he didn't forget when he won.
Did he not forget. Like, basically said, like, shout out to all my haters out there.
Yeah, kind of a Valtteri. A few more words than Valtteri would say.
Yeah, and less fucks. Less fucks given. Less fucks given out, dished out.
Yeah, and you know what was awesome is that everybody gave a fuck, actually, about Lando. Like, all the drivers stopped, waved at him. Lewis was clapping at him. You know, they all pulled up on the cool down lap to show him, you know, how happy they were. I think there was not a single driver who wasn't happy. Even Max, you know, you got to give it to him. Knowles, I mean, we all know you're not the biggest Max supporter, but Max was genuinely happy for Lando. And I don't think I've seen that often, because if it was a Lewis win, he would not be smiling like that.
Can I say something? Max was probably the funniest he's been in his entire career this weekend. Like, genuinely, he and Lando grew up racing together. And, you know, this whole generation of drivers has grown up, with the exception of a few of them. Definitely not Fernando, as we know, fucking geriatric Alonso. But, I mean, we're not too far off from Fernando. We're closer to Fernando than we are Lando, so I shouldn't be saying that. But in age, I mean,
we're closer to DR3 and Valtteri. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm the same age as DR3 and Valtteri. So his post-race interview was brilliant. Did you see any of it?
Yeah, no, I saw a lot of it. Yeah,
yeah. Max's post-race, he was asked, like, if Lando hadn't gotten the safety car, do you think he still would have won? And Max's response was, if my mom had balls, she'd be my dad, which was such a I loved it, dude. It's like, and I know, like, he didn't come up with that, but because I've heard it before somewhere.
It's a very European thing to say. Yeah.
It reminded me of, I don't know if you've ever seen this, like Good Morning Britain. They have this like Italian chef that comes on and like does segments, and years back he became like instant famous, like went viral, because one of the chefs said he was like, you know, if they added this one ingredient, he was making a carbonara. If they added this one ingredient, it would be like a British carbonara. And he goes, if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle. And it was like, it reminded me.
I saw that. Yeah. The guy was not happy. Like, he was not joking at all.
He was like, if you go around clipping pasta in front of Italians, or, you know, putting pineapple on pizza. But, and then he also was asked about the bollard that he took out, the cone. And he was like, I was just mad at it. Or he wanted to test the durability of the front wing. He just wasn't having it. Like, he was like, yeah, I locked up and went into the fucking cone, which then created a virtual safety car. But
he also talked about, like, they asked him about Trump, and he just said, yeah, it's good that everyone looks at him, you know, because then they don't bother me. So I think Max is like very just, you know, just says what he thinks. And when he's winning, it might sound like a bit too much, but he's actually not. He's not a bad guy. So, but like everyone, you know, for all the Lewis haters out there that, you know, we're sick of him winning when he's not winning, it's, you know, it's more, he feels like more human. He feels like a nicer dude. It's always the same shit, you know. Like if Lando starts winning 50 races in a row, everyone's gonna be like, "Oh, fuck that guy!" Right?
But, exactly. Yeah. No, you heard it here, folks. If Lando starts winning a lot, all of you are gonna be like, "Well, fuck Lando then." I mean, there were people already saying that though. They're like, "Lando no wins," rather than Lando said it too. He was like,
"Yeah."
Which I didn't realize it was a hashtag, Lando no wins, rather than Lando Norris.
Which he follows because he likes to go and troll people online.
I love that.
Like and comment sarcastically, which is I don't know if it's the best use of his time, but I think it's pretty funny.
I mean, maybe it is. Like, maybe it's just, you know, he spends like 30 minutes looking through those comments and it gets him a little chubbed up to just go out and say, you know what, fuck you haters. I'm still gonna do this. And I mean, fuck man, like one of the best moments in Formula One. I mean, so far this decade,
granted, I would say
it's a top 10 moment like in this century so far, you know, in the early parts of the 21st century.
Formula One. Rare that a driver is universally liked. You know, you got the DR3. I think you got Lando. I don't think there's many others that are not polarized in, you know, the fan base. So yeah, very wholesome moment. And I think my favorite moment is Fred Vasseur sneaking up on the McLaren
team
photo when everyone kneels down and they all take a photo with the trophies and he shows up with a bottle of champagne. Zach Brown throws him a cap, like a McLaren cap, and you're like, oh, he's not gonna wear it. You know, it's like, you know, it's, you know, you gotta be Ferrari official and everything. And he puts the cap backwards and sprays Lando, and like Ferrari's Instagram was like, no one's ever safe when Fred's around. I was like, damn, man, we've come a long way in Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Where like a Ferrari team boss can go and spray another team with champagne and then wear their hat. I mean, wow. It
just shows you
if Enzo saw that, though.
Oh, man, he'd be pissed.
Ooh, somebody might be getting fired on Monday morning. Let's put it that way.
Oh, man. All right, so Lando. A lot of people are saying Lando wouldn't have won without the safety car. Probably not. But hey, sometimes you need a little luck to get
I agree with that. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean,
100% he would not have won, but because he was not in the right place. He would have done a podium, I think, but he wouldn't have won without that safety car. But I mean,
it's another if. You know what? I'm so sick of these ifs. And like, this is, I get what you're saying. The safety car, he benefited from the safety car. He was able to take it, you know, he was able to pit, get on fresher tires. The ifs are really frustrating though.
Yeah. They asked Max Verstappen that. And he was like, you know, this is the way it is. Like you're not going to cry about it. What was really weird with this safety car is like how far in front of everyone he was, because the safety car is supposed to pick up the leader and they picked up Max, and Norris was almost a full lap ahead, and even Max came on the radio saying like, is he going to be a lap ahead of everyone else? And no, they let everyone kind of get past him. But you know, I want to bring this up because people are calling out this whole thing of the safety car, which I don't really care, because at the end of the day it happened, right? So I'm happy for it. And it just shows also that McLaren on pace this weekend with these crazy updates, they're getting closer and closer. And even if he wouldn't have won, he would have been right there with Max. And that's amazing for the championship. And honestly, it's looking like Red Bull, Ferrari, and McLaren now are going to have some pretty good fights for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to like the ifs. Like, it's racing, you know, like, if this happened, that could have happened. It's like, but it did happen, so shut the fuck up. Like, honestly, I hate when these conversations happen in these situations where it's like, Max had the perfect response, you know?
If Knowles is getting this riled up, no, what's going to happen? We talk about Mercedes.
If Max had, you know, if Max's mom had balls, she'd be Yoss. So, you know, it's the hypotheticals and the ifs are like, well, it didn't happen. And I think it did help the fact that Lando and Max have a good relationship, you know, and he even said, he's like, if there's another driver to win, that I would like to see win, it's Lando. So I just, the ifs really get me, bro. The ifs get me. You know?
I'm just imagining the situation where if the safety car had helped Lewis beat Max, if he would have said the same thing. 100% no. You know that.
Yeah, I don't think he answers the same way
either. But who cares? It was Lando's moment.
It was Lando.
his Lando's moment. And yeah, I mean, those, the McLaren, man, people, like, they downplayed their upgrades. But when I look at the list of updates that they had for this weekend, it's not a simple update. It's a fucking almost a B-spec car they brought here. And should be pointed out that Piastri did not have all those updates. And he also had amazing speed in the race as well. And if it wasn't for the safety car, he could have been maybe on the podium as well.
Yeah, and, I mean, he also made some mistakes. He got double overtaken by Lewis and who was the other driver? I mean, in the end, you know, Oscar had a rough end of the race. Like, but
it's a little rough. Wasn't helped by Carlos Sainz either. Right. A little wheel banging, a little damaging his front wing.
And which I've got another. I've got some comments. You know, when we get to Ferrari about Carlos.
So do I. So what do we got to say about Red Bull? Verstappen kept saying he was off this whole weekend. That, you know, he was off, but he gets pole in the sprint, wins the sprint, still in P2 here. If that's an off weekend, man, it's not a bad one. Because at the end of the day, he still scored a shitload of points this weekend.
I think he literally said the exact same thing. Hmm. I think he was like, if that's a bad weekend for me, I'll take it. Which says, it says, I don't think there's much more that has to be said, but I think just speaking of Red Bull, just and not to backtrack on McLaren, but looking at Lando's pace, he got on when he got in front of Max, right? After that safety car. I mean, look at the gap, man. And so if we look at Red Bull and McLaren, it's like Red Bull, I think, should be a little worried about what they saw this weekend. Granted, I think conditions at the track benefited McLaren, who, by the way, did an incredible job sandbagging with these updates. Like, just brilliant. I fucking called it. I was like, there is no way they are playing the media game. They're not going to give anything to their rivals. They're playing the long game here. It was brilliant. I thought so. And so just to go back to Red Bull, it brings me to Checo, you know? That's where it brings me, is like, what the fuck?
I was laughing my ass off at the start when I saw Checo braking and fully locking up his right front wheel. I think he came within like less than 5 centimeters to taking out Max Verstappen at turn one.
Oh, dude, and that could have been... Ooh. I don't know how he literally torpedoed in. I mean, he looked like fucking Danny Kvyat coming through. How no one hit him? That
interior torpedo, yeah.
Yeah, the ghost of Danny Kvyat's past lives on. He's like, I am Danny. Danny Kvyat actually just like took over Checo's body in that moment. And he's like, I'm going to get you, motherfucker. He's like in some simulation somewhere.
Yeah. Man, that was close. And and I think Max was like, yeah, he braked 50 meters later, which is huge. Like 50 meters is not a little bit. It's a lot. Well, that's why he didn't make the fucking corner. He was off
basically half a football field.
Yeah, and really fucked up Sainz's start. Sainz had passed Leclerc and he had to slow down. I think Sainz was a bit salty throughout this whole race. He got that happen to him. And then later the safety car didn't help him out because he had pace this weekend, man. And he was the faster of the two Ferraris for sure. And just like race conditions didn't allow him to show off that pace. But oof, what a start that was. Looking at Ferrari's pace, though, if I look at the weekend, like, you know, their pace compared to Red Bull, I'm happy. But the fact that another team won a race and it's not Ferrari, I'm a little disappointed in Ferrari, but that being said, it just seems that it's super tight up there because I think Sainz and Norris could have actually battled it out as well if conditions had played out differently, and I think this is something we can look forward to in the next 10, 15 races, hopefully, if they all continue developing at the same pace, and hopefully if Red Bull kind of starts slowing down their development pace.
Yeah, I think for me, like I don't think it's as much a disappointment in Ferrari as it is McLaren upping the game, and Ferrari's gonna have to respond. I think that's really what it comes down to. I don't think Ferrari actually had a pretty solid weekend overall.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know, I wouldn't say they had a bad weekend. I just think McLaren has. McLaren has basically brought it to put their nuts on the table and been like, we're here and we're not going away. And that's how it worked out this weekend. I mean, Charles still finished on the podium, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Charles P2 in qualifying for the sprint and for the main race, bringing that qualifying speed back up. So, yeah, overall, I'm not disappointed. Ferrari still managed to score 36 points this weekend, which is a bit more than McLaren because Piastri obviously had his issues. We don't have a fight yet, but we could.
I think we already do. I think the fight's on.
Yeah, I'm talking about the gap. Like the gap.
Oh, the gap right now.
Red Bull's at 239, Ferrari at 187, but on track. I mean, it's going to get spicy now, I think.
We're only a quarter way through the season. If this stays consistent, we're going to have a battle for the. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save that. I'm going to save my thoughts for the end of the episode because we have a question from one of our audience members.
But tell me one thing, man. What's going on Mercedes here? Like,
hold on. We didn't, before we get to Merc, because I know you always love getting to Merc and seeing me cry. Just got to say, I think we're seeing Carlos's frustrations come out this weekend, or we saw them come out.
100%. Yeah. The team did not really play the team game with him, and he also got pissed off at just racing events. Like, he got pissed off because of the safety car, which, you know, that happens. But and then he kind of took it out on poor Oscar Piastri in the end.
Took it out on Oscar, was really vocal on his radio. I mean, he told his race engineer to shut up. He didn't say that. He said, stop talking.
Let me do it. Like, yeah, there was a lot of,
There's just a lot of radio, a lot of like, and I think the battle with Oscar was, I was like, dude, you're asking for them to give you the position back. But I think Oscar was just racing you hard and you need to win that position on merit, you know?
Yeah. And that was the second time he was complaining. Like at the beginning, remember when Perez did that? He's like, yeah, he needs, it's a penalty. I'm like, bro, it's first lap. Yeah. And you know, I love Carlos and I love all that he's done this year, mm-hmm. but I can't really take his side on this race. Like, you know, shit happens, bro. Like, and, but I will say one thing that his Instagram story in the end, when he said congratulations cabron for Norris, like that made up for me. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit of Espanol in F1.
Yeah, cabron. Where is anybody heard from Lando recently? Is he alive? Do we know?
did you see his latest Instagram post?
No,
it was just like a black screen and had like this a white circle that was a little faded and it says recovery 1%.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I posted that on our Instagram, dude. He's dead. Like he did not recover at all.
Man, even Lewis was like, yo, you need to cancel that flight. You just want to race, bro. We could party.
Oh yeah. Well, also in his post race, he was like, I kind of wanted to win it at Silverstone. And Max was like, no, man, you don't want to win it at your first race at Silverstone. Like, you can get after it in Miami. You can't get after it at Silverstone.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome.
Well, Max got
was on it with the post race press. His post race presser was great. If anybody, if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend watching. It was fucking brilliant.
Kind of hoping for more Max banter, which means that he's not winning. That's great. As long as he doesn't win, he's gonna be funny.
He's pretty boring when he wins. Yeah. But I digress. I'm not trying to prevent us from talking about Mercedes, by the way.
Yeah, so let's get to your team. Man, I actually like genuinely felt bad for you and for Merc fans on the sprint when I saw Lewis Hamilton battling with the Haas, really struggling to get past them. And, you know, there was some erratic driving from K-Mag, which we'll get into a bit later. But the sprint was rough and qualifying was rough. But then in the race, Lewis looked like he was pretty racy in the end there. And for a moment, I thought he was going to maybe take Checo, but just lacked a bit of pace, I think, in that final stint.
I mean, Lewis finished that race like with a smile on his face. Like he genuinely walked away being like, feeling like he had a car under him that he could challenge, you know, he could challenge with, or at least for a higher position. You know, obviously not race wins, but yeah, dude, it was a very funny weekend for Lewis. Like, I felt like, especially in the sprint, 'cause you made a joke. You're like, What did I say?
Yeah,
I
no, you
like,
were asking.
I was like, oh, the Haas or the McLaren and the Mercedes. You know, do you think you're going to go for the overcut? And originally it said undercut, but I actually meant overcut. By the way, just letting you know, it was a mistake.
Well, either way, it did not make sense.
It did actually, because no, listen, it was wishful thinking on my part. But then you're like, fuck you, dude. Nah, fuck you, Pushan. I'm just gonna say it. He is actually battling a Haas. And yeah. You know what? Listen, the Haas is wildly unpredictable. Like they're not like
it really is.
Yeah. They're not a Williams. No. You know, oof. This year.
Yeah. No, they're not.
You know, maybe firing Gunter was the right call.
They got that Ferrari engine at the back of that Haas, but yeah, no, it's funny because like you had that hope. You're like, oh man, are they playing that strategy? I was like, no, they're just elbows out with the Haas, man. I don't think McLaren needs to worry about Merck at all, bro.
Fuck you. Yeah, no, but anyway, whatever. Hey,
could only go up, right, from here.
Yeah, only go up, or yeah. Only go down. Not or true.
They or, could be behind Haas yeah. Again.
Could go both ways at this point.
Yeah. Speaking of going one way or the other, what's going to happen with this second Red Bull seat here? We like to have this little segment on our episodes. Let's do a little recap, shall we? So we got mm-hmm. Perez almost taking out Max Verstappen. That would have been like a declaration of war as if Red Bull needed more drama. We got Danny Ric, who we haven't mentioned yet, but Danny Ric fucking showed up on the sprint, qualified P4, was P3 for a while, reminding us like he can hang with the top, you know, he can hang at the front.
That radio. Yeah, what, dude? That was his radio, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry for everyone's eardrums. Yeah. Man. I freaked out at the TV. I was like, let's fucking go.
That was amazing. Yeah,
I loved it. I mean, I loved it.
P4. So he gets P4, first points of the year, and in the US, he needed this. And then, unfortunately, in qualifying, it kind of goes downhill for him. He qualifies last, basically. He gets those three spot.
P17.
The three spot then, yeah. Grid penalty. So starts 20th. It's pretty much nowhere in the race. Like, it's as if he didn't participate in that one. And his teammate, though, Yuki Tsunoda, Danny Ric crushed the sprint in P4. Yuki got a point as well in there. And in the race, Yuki got P7. So all in all, if you look at everything that's happened this weekend, Checo is the one that comes out at the bottom for me. And it's pretty neck and neck with Danny Ric and Tsunoda. Tsunoda more for his kind of consistency, and Danny Ric for that peak. I'll still give it to Danny Ric because, I mean, I prefer Danny Ric. So.
Yeah. I don't think Yuki ever gets that seat.
No, he doesn't. No,
I don't.
I think we said it like, here. Yeah.
I don't think he's ever getting that seat. I think if he believes he's getting that seat, he's in a fucking, like, Yuki's temperament is not what that team needs or requires.
No, they also don't want him there. Like, it's clear. Like, he's not their driver. They've got Lawson coming in next year.
They've got Lawson, likely. Who I think is a better option, a more consistent option. And you've got a, you know, 8-time Grand Prix winner in Danny Ric, who, listen, I mean, Checo still finished above both of them. That said,
he's in a Red Bull.
I mean, he's in a Red Bull, and we've given Checo a lot of love this season. We're like, I think he's probably secured that, you know, or doing what he needs to keep the seat, not secure it. After this weekend, I'm not so sure.
You know, I'll tell you what, I've said this before
and then I'll let you finish.
Just cut me out there, just like Checo almost cut up fucking Max there.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm doing my worst Kanye right now. I do think if Max doesn't leave Red Bull, which I think is a heinous assumption right now, he and Danny Ric get along really well. And I think Danny Ric has what? Oh,
here we go.
I think, yeah, dude, I mean, I'm speculating. Let's silly season this shit up.
Let's get silly.
Yeah. Let's get silly, baby. Let's get silly. Danny Ric, I think also understands like he is the second driver. He would be. And he's okay with that after the string of failures or just rough patches, whatever you want to call them, he went through after leaving Red Bull because of the preferential treatment Max got. You know? I think he's okay with it. That's where I think he's at. So.
Ouch. Well,
anyway, sorry to interrupt.
I'm going to save this maybe for later on the season. I don't think Danny Riggs is okay with playing second fiddle. He goes, he's got to believe he can win.
For sure.
What I would say is that if there's a possibility of Max leaving, there's a spot of number one
it's true.
To grab. And that's where Danny Rick needs to play his cards. But
yeah,
I think for now, we have to let things play out a little bit and see what's going to happen there. But yeah, this weekend, a little weird. And I agree with you. Tsunoda, whatever he does, he's scoring a shitload of points this year. He's never
going to get that seat.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, Yuki. If you think you're getting that seat.
Speaking of a driver who also is looking for a seat maybe for next year, Esteban Ocon finally scored his first point for Alpine. And hey, the Alpine is now no longer overweight. A little diet in the last few races. And the car is at weight, finally. It's not looking like a shitbox like it was in Bahrain.
No, I mean, that first lap with Esteban and Pierre.
Jesus, my God.
Whoa, I mean, if I'm Alpine, I'm like, holy shit, you two, get it under control.
It's like, boys, is there a radio? Do we not talk about this? Yeah,
yeah. Come on. Is there like a word, like a safe word, you know, for the two of them? It's like some.
Oh, putain, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be a safe word that they can say over the radio to be like, "You stupid fucks."
Well, no matter but what
yeah, I don't know what you do in that situation because they're a team who cannot afford both their cars to not finish.
But it looked awesome when they were doing it. And in their defense, they came super close to each other without ever touching, without hitting each other, they not getting into the wall, which is what we want ultimately. So if you're an Alpine, team boss or a race engineer, you probably need a pair of new underpants after those first two laps. But boy, was that awesome! Even Martin Brundle's like, I've never seen two cars go side by side into turn 17, which is a chicane. I was like, yeah, that is wild. They did it. They didn't hit, but hey, hopefully things points to come. Finally, maybe Alpine will finally start mixing it up in that backfield, midfield kind of section. And yeah, who knows? I mean, they need it. They've been on our list of needs a result. Few years.
They've been on the. It's kind of getting years. It's not approaching races. Yeah. It's the Alpines had, well, a relatively quiet weekend. I think they did what they had a weekend that. I don't want to say impressed, but weekend that
positive weekend.
Yeah, there we go.
Positive weekend. Yeah, getting
positive
on the board.
Positive weekend. Bravo to you.
I'll tell you what, man. Who's having positive weekends after getting signed for Sauber next year? Hulkenberg on a roll, man.
Hulkenberg.
The Hulk scoring points. Points in the sprint. And considering what his teammate did,
oh my god,
during the whole weekend,
oh my god, dude,
I feel like we need to talk about our friend K-Mag.
Let's talk about K-Mag.
Six penalties he accumulated over the weekend, and he's now only 2 points away from a race ban. So if he has another incident like this in the next race, like, he could miss a race, and Ollie Bearman could get his second start of the year.
I mean, what a way to I guess play be a team player. I don't know what in the sprint it made more sense, but then on race day it was just like, Jesus Christ, bro, get it together.
Yeah, I mean, I think he also admitted after the sprint, it's like, this is not how I want to race.
I mean, but he does kind of have a reputation. Why'd you do it again? And then I mean, the incident with Logan, he looked dejected after the race. He's just like, I don't know.
It's like it wasn't. I don't think he to the principal's office. Like, you know, no matter what happens, like, oh, it's that kid. It's him. It's K-Mag.
He was clearly in the wrong there. Like, poor Logan, you know.
Not gonna lie, when I saw that crash though, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I was like, I think I texted you and was like, yeah, mark my words, Logan will be out before the summer break. I didn't even give him the,
bro, we didn't even see the replay yet. Come yeah.
We just
but you're not wrong.
K-Mag fully fucking Danny Kvyat'd him, so.
Oh man, yeah.
He kind of K-Mag'd him because that's kind of a K-Mag is
yeah. It's like that super like erratic defensive move when he took Lewis off the track, basically.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, going for a gap that wasn't there, essentially there. And then there was a few other track limits. He just had it all, man. It's like the K-Mag bingo this weekend. He just fucking
nailed it. Who's got a 5-second drive-through penalty for K-Mag? Who's got a 10 seconds?
10 seconds.
Who's got 20? Anyone got 20?
Man, save
who's
that
who's got
for
points
Vegas
off his super license? Rough weekend for K-Mag, but another rough weekend for Logan Sargeant. It literally his home race. He grew up not too far from the circuit.
Oof. But man. Not his fault. And he was actually hanging in there with Alex Albon for a while. I'm just it's a little disappointing because now we're starting to see Williams drop off because of all those crashes and the cost cap. They're not able to fully develop that car yet. So
did you see Max's post in the cool down room? What he said?
He's like,
at least they have another chassis now.
No. He said, no, you misheard. He said, he deserves that spare chassis now.
Oh, he deserves that.
Yeah, a little sass from Max. Yeah, see, he was.
Max was sassy this weekend, man. Yeah. Sassy Max.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Yeah. Damn,
not mad
Max.
At sassy. Whoa, fuck you, Max. Just kidding.
Then we got to make a t-shirt. Max and P2, the sass. Or Sassy Max.
I don't know. Work on that one, dude. Yeah. Don't associate with me with that. Guys, just let you know. I'm not associated with that suggestion.
Oh, man. You know who's got to work on their manners this
Sauber?
Weekend? Yeah. Kick Sauber.
Jesus.
After signing Hülkenberg without really telling Valtteri, right? And after a tough start of the year, they decided to change his race engineer, which is like the most important relationship you have as a driver. Like that's the person who guides you, helps you through everything. Like he's your rock. And they're like, now we're going to change him. Like right before, we're not going to tell you. And there was a few mishaps because of it. And Valtteri was, he's not happy, clearly showing it. And, you know, I'm beginning to think that he might take that mullet elsewhere next season.
Dude, I mean, if I was Valtteri, I would let my team fucking have it. Like, yeah. Absolutely. Like the incident where, first of all, just like getting rid of your race engineer midweek without telling you as a driver is completely like FUBAR.
Yeah. No, it's bullshit. But
and then it translated to incidents on track. You know, I've loved Valtteri in this kind of like this reborn, like, version of himself with the mullet. And he seems to be taking things a little bit lighter. Or more lightly, like he, but at the same time, if your team isn't there for you, it's going to start hurting. And I think a lot of like,
he's not feeling the love, that's for sure.
Right. Outside of like Logan, he's someone who I think needs a good weekend in the points. And I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, the thing is he's come so close to getting points this year, and it has never been his fault that he's fucked it up. So he's actually, it's weird because I actually have a better opinion of him this year than I did last year, even though he hasn't scored any points yet, because I know where all the mishaps are coming from, and it's coming from his team.
No, it's the team. Like, they can't get it together in the pits. They can't get it together on track. I mean, they're like this year's Alpine.
But Alpine's actually,
who knows, maybe they'll you know what I mean, like,
yeah, I'm just saying, exactly,
like, off track and on track, like off track is translating to on track, and like, who knows, maybe they'll fire their entire team right before Spa.
Well, you know, they're gonna change complete ownership in a year or two.
True.
So
I think it's also obvious, Audi, so, yeah. Audi starting to pull some strings.
Yeah, definitely Hulk being a German guy, like that's sends a strong message. And it looks like Joe and Bottas will be out of there next year. Who knows? Although Joe would be happy to stay. By the way, he celebrated his 50th start in F1 already. So good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him.
No points for him either, unfortunately.
Sorry, Joe.
But speaking of points, man, the grandstand So we got our first wild card of the year, you and I, my friend.
Hey.
We should have probably thought of different wild cards to gain points on each other, but we both had Norris winning his first race this year, so that's 10 points.
Well, you got to hedge your bets.
We got points for pole position with Verstappen, and that's all you got. I got Leclerc and Sainz.
Why did you say that like Trump? That's all you got. You only got the points for pole and in Norris. That's all you get.
Did I say it like him? I've never even attempted.
It might have been unintentional, but
my God. Oh.
Yeah, maybe his spray tan's rubbing off on you.
You actually had points until the very last second with Sainz, but he was given a penalty, and those points came straight to me for P5.
Good for you. Good for you, bro.
Yeah. Well, look at you. You're not being as nice as the other F1 drivers to Norris, huh? I see in defeat.
I don't know.
Not winning. No. You were very gracious in when you were winning, but now.
I just don't like your tone. Is what I
Well, the tone is that I'm catching up.
Yeah, 127
to 115.
Yeah, and the gap
someone's getting a little defensive. So bring it on, Merles. The gap was 30.
Gap was 30 at one point. It's all right. There's a long season ahead of us. I'm trying to get my first win on the grandstand. It's all good. Got to take things in stride. But fuck you, Pushon.
And thank you, Carlos, for giving me that.
Yeah,
that point.
You should say late. Yeah. Just give Carlos a little hello. Thanks.
I got lucky because when I saw your prediction, when I saw that Norris P3 at first, it was looking like that could happen. And then when I saw Norris go up, I was like, well, no one's getting those first P1, P2. And like that it's Ferrari who gave me the points.
Yeah. Listen, I'll take the hit in points on the Grandstand Championship to have Lando win his first race. That's fine. Fine by me.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
What do we got coming up here? We have Imola coming up in 2 weeks. Another 2 week break.
Can we read the title of the next Grand Prix?
I'll let you read it, sir, if you have it in front of you.
Hold on. It's just need to make sure I've got. It's the. Oh my God. Formula One Rolex Gran Premio della Made in Italy del Emiliana Romagna. Sorry to all my Italian people out there butchering that.
No. How come you have a different sponsor than I have? Mine's the Formula One MSC Cruises
Gran Premio. Oh, yes, the MSC. I'm reading the old one.
Dell'Emiliano Romagna 2024. So it's even longer.
It's even longer. Oh, my God. The MSC Cruises. Who allowed that?
I'll tell you who. Money.
Yeah. His name's Mr. Benjamin. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we got a week off. Until that, I'm not saying that name again. Until Imola, let's call it Imola.
Yeah, let's just call it Imola.
We have a week off to reflect, and hopefully Lando will get over that hangover. I feel like it doesn't take much for Lando to get a hangover, so 2 weeks is probably good.
I mean, he's born in Glastonbury, dude. Like, I think the dude knows how to party.
Oh, he doesn't drink though, because I know this for a fact. Because like he always says like he doesn't drink alcohol at all. So if he has a couple of drinks, motherfucker's gonna be lit. That's what I'm saying. So
interesting.
Little recovery days, will probably be good for him, and not a problem for us here.
Nope. Yeah. Crack a beer at noon.
It's kind of where I'm at. Sounds like my weekend in London. Yeah. In the meantime, follow us on social media at The Grandstand F1 and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. And don't hesitate to ask questions. We're taking in questions from now on. We'll end with this one. We had Mod asking, do we now have a title fight this year?
Do we respond in one word?
Yeah, I think we can give like a little sentence answer.
Yes.
It's on, baby. We'll see you next week.
Woo!